To the book of Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, going in the Old Testament. And this morning, I'm going to preach on everybody's favorite topic. I'm going to preach on tithing, to be specific. Why do Baptists tithe? Why do we tithe? What's the point of it? What's the whole idea of it? This is something I've taught a long time ago, and I haven't revisited it in a long time. And I don't preach on money a whole lot. Don't talk about it. Don't spend time. I figure if God gets hold of your heart and you actually read the Bible, you'll learn. Amen. And God gets hold of your heart. And I'd rather you give because God told you to, not because I told you to. But I, as a pastor, I do have a responsibility to preach unto you the whole counsel of God. And this issue of tithing, giving tithes, is something that causes a lot of controversy for a lot of people. So let's take our Bibles. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. There's a whole lot to be said about tithes, but I want to focus on these verses for a purpose. Leviticus chapter 27. In verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for everything you provided for us. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to understand the truth of your word concerning this subject. And Lord, help us to see the truth and incorporate the truth and the biblical principles into our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you talk about the tithe, a lot of people will say, today, especially in today's, well, tithing, that's a matter of law. That's not a matter of grace. And that's not true. How you do it depends whether it's a matter of law or a matter of grace. But when you think of tithe, the passage that I read that passage to you for two reasons. Because one, it says the tithe is the Lord's. And it says the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And it clearly says the tithe is one-tenth. Okay? So when we look at the idea of tithe, was the tithe in the law of Moses? Absolutely it was. Matter of fact, most of the verses that are in the Old Testament about tithing are under the law. Leviticus 27, 30-32, Numbers 18, 24, 18, 26, 18, 28, Deuteronomy 12, 6, 12, 11, 12, 17, Deuteronomy 4, 22 and 23, 14, 22 and 23 rather, 14, 28, 26, 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, 5 and 6, chapter 31, verse 12, Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 37-38, Nehemiah 12:44, Nehemiah 13:5 and 13:12, Amos 4:4, and then Malachi 3-10. It talks about the tithe in a lot of different ways when we talk about that. And most of the references about the tithe are to teach Israel how they were to use the tithe under the law. It was incorporated into the law. But the tithe isn't strictly from the law. It's something that was incorporated into the law. If you go and you look at your Bibles and you read it, you see that in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham... Go to Genesis chapter 14. We see Abraham there. And we see a picture of when Abraham met Melchizedek. Let me get there very quickly. turn over my Bible here. In Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And in verse... after Abraham rescued Lot from Chedorlaomer and all the other kings that came, and he rescued Lot, and it says in verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and he blessed, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, talking about Abram or Abraham, gave him tithes of all. And then it says, and Abram, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, the portion of the men which with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So he said, they can have their portion they want, but I'm not going to take anything that's yours. You're not going to say, I'm not going to take anything from Sodom, from the wickedness of Sodom. But notice, before he had that interaction with the king, he gave Melchizedek a tithe of all that he had recovered. A tenth. There was no law then, was there? No law at all. Then if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. And let me get to 28 here. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his dream, out of his sleep, and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So we see both Abraham and Jacob giving a tithe, a tenth, to God, to honor God. And one, Abraham giving it to the priest of God, and Jacob relating that tithe to the house of God and the work of God. So we see that picture there, and we see that that's way before the law. And the Bible talks about that If you go with me to the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about that. And he says, go to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us a lot about it. Let me get over there to Hebrews chapter 7 so I can read it clearly, not just off my notes. But Hebrews chapter 7 says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father and without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So the focus of that, of this, is obviously the priesthood of Melchizedek, and that being of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the picture of the greater covenant. But notice what it talks about. It talks about Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Jacob vowed and pledged to give a tenth. In other words, he was doing something that was known to be something that predates the law. And when we get in the law, the explanation we get is the tithe is holy to the Lord, and the tithe is the Lord. So we look at that, and we see the focus of the tithe being something that is before. The tithe is not a matter of law. It is a matter of faith. They that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So, the reason I tithe is because it's a matter of faith. It's giving back to God. You know, people will say, well, everything you have belongs to God, so you're only going to give a tenth to God. This funny thing is, most of the people that say that everything they have belongs to God don't give everything to God. You know, I have learned some things growing up as a Christian. I was talking to Sister Denise the other day, and I was talking about the things we did in the Navy. And one of the things we did, I mean, we went out places, we gave out Bibles, we gave out gospel tracts, we witnessed to people and stuff like that. I tell you what, and being in Jamaica was wonderful. But you know the people that were doing that? It wasn't the other Christians of other groups and things like that. It was primarily the independent Baptists that were doing it. It was me and Tom and Chris and John. Another John. We were the ones that were raiding the library and taking Bibles out. We were the one that was going out and doing that, talking and stuff like that. We were the ones that were doing that. And I remember back to that. I never thought about it, but that's how we were taught. We were taught to be witnesses for Christ. We were taught to witness for people. We were taught to try to win the lost. You know, the funny thing about it is I was taught about tithing as a young Christian. I was taught about it. I was taught about the fact that this was a way to honor the Lord, to live by faith. Certainly everything you have belongs to God. But like I said, so many times the people say everything they have belongs to God. Forget the tithing thing. They don't give it. You would think they would give more than a tenth, wouldn't you? But they don't, by and large. And most of the time people attack the idea of tithing just because they don't want to give any money at all. Just to be honest with you, they don't want a claim on any of their money. But, you know, the simple fact is, I find out that the people that tithe by faith generally give more than a tithe. The tithe is a matter of faith. You shouldn't tithe because I tell you about tithing. You should tithe because you believe God. You should tithe because you trust God. And what is a tithe? A tithe is a tenth. And notice, when, by the way, this is something else that people need to understand. When you talk about tithing, when we talk about, if you're going to say, I'm going to give a tenth to the work of God, and I'm going to live that way, and I'm going to make a tenth part of everything God gives me, I'm going to make it holy unto the Lord, and I'm going to say that belongs to God, and I'm going to do that by faith. When you do that, notice what it says. Also, he says that he gave them tithes of all. Not tithes of some. So when I tithe, I don't tithe off of what we would call the net. I tithe off the gross. Because that's all. I can't do anything about what the government takes away from me. Right? And I can't do anything about what I'm paying for insurance and all that other stuff. Those are things that I choose, that I pay. So what do I pay off? I pay off the gross. I tithe off the gross. I give him tithes of all. Alright? And that's the thing that we do. Now, I'm not telling you, you have to do this. I'm telling you, if you do this, there will be a blessing in it. If you live by faith and you trust God enough to say, hey, my testimony is that a tenth of everything that God gives, I'm going to give back to Him for His work, for His house, however you want to put it. You know, and that doesn't stop me from giving. That doesn't mean that's the end of my giving to God. I give Him my time. When God tells me, speaks to my heart about helping somebody, I try to help somebody. When God speaks to my heart about missions, I give to missions. I do all kinds of things like that. The tithe is simply a starting point. The tithe is simply a looking at a principle that has been repeated literally all, since creation. They brought offerings to God, didn't they? Cain and Abel, didn't they? Alright, we're not told the amount back then, but we're told in the case of Abraham, we're told there that they did that. And certainly there's a lot that was in the law. But the law was there for what? The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law was given to Israel so that they would appear, be a testimony as a nation, as a holy nation to the rest of the world. Right? There are a lot of things that are written in the law that we still do, don't we? There may be some ceremonial things that we don't do. We don't have a table of showbread in front of there because Jesus is the bread of life, right? We don't have a menorah set up because He's the light of the world, right? We don't have a brazen altar and an altar of incense because our incense is prayer and righteousness. He is literally our intercessor. We don't have a brazen altar where we sacrifice animals and shed blood because the blood of Christ is what justifies us before God. That's what gives us atonement before God. We don't have a basin, a, a molten sea out there, a laver, a place to wash before we come into the church, because it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin, right? So we look at that. Those things, we don't have a tabernacle, a temple, although those things are in heaven. But those things are figures of the true. The things on earth are just figures of the true. And we understand the significant, but there are a lot of things that are contained in the law that we certainly observe, don't we? But why? Because it's a righteous thing to do. It's a godly thing to do. The commandments, the things that were given in the law of Moses. So there's a lot of things that we do. There's a lot of things in our civil law that actually come from the law of Moses. And they're there because they're right. But tithing is there. Abraham did it by faith. Jacob did it by faith. Everybody's done it by faith. And it was to be done by faith by Israel. And it was also to provide, God used that to provide for the Levitical priesthood, for the sons of Aaron and the Levites and all those. They took a part of that out for their support and the work of God. So you have that principle in the scriptures. And I could talk about a lot of it. But then you go to the book of Malachi. Turn over there with you, if you would, Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, and he says this in verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." He said, "You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now he's talking about Israel under the law here, all right? But he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." So he tells them that they have robbed him in tithes and offerings. Why? Because the tithe is the Lord, and the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And they didn't see it that way. They only saw it in the eyes of the trappings of the law. And they decided, hey, I'm not worried about the law. I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to give whatever thing. I'll take the best for me. I'll take the first thing for me. And I will do that. But God said they robbed him. And in robbing him, they hurt themselves. And they were cursed with a curse. And I'm not saying that you're going to be, if you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed with a curse. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying look at the principle. Look at the principle. Wherever we don't live by faith, we get cursed with a curse, don't we? Think about that. So I'm just saying, trust God with your money and the things that God prospers you with, just like you trust Him with your salvation, your soul. That's all I'm saying. And then we get in the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." He says the same thing, Luke 11:42, "But woe to you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So Jesus told them, he said, hey, you ought to have done this tithing you did. But the problem is, they're not doing this by faith. They're doing it as a matter of righteousness. They're sitting there saying, hey, I give tithes to God, I give money to God, therefore I am righteous in the eyes of God. And they felt that they didn't have to worry about judgment and mercy and faith and the love of God and all those things like that. Just like the in Luke chapter 18 and verse 12, you remember the two men went up to pray in the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. And the Pharisee prayed thus with thyself, Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And you know what he said? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was looking at his tithes as being his righteousness. No, righteousness only comes by faith. Amen. By trusting God. And so when we teach about tithing, we're not teaching a law to be given to people. We are teaching a biblical principle that goes all the way back to Abraham and before. And carried through. The law. And beyond. It's a matter of righteousness. What God prospers us with, we ought to give back. And I understand, especially in a day and age where prices are going up and everything's going up, you say, how am I going to live? How am I going to do this? You know what? I've been tithing for a lot of years. And you know what? I found out I can just trust God. We were getting our stuff ready for taxes. You know what I found out this year? We probably gave more this year than we've ever gave. Yeah, I'm just talking tithes, offerings, missions. And God's blessed. Can't explain it. Can't explain it. It's just a matter of faith. It's not a matter of works. It's not a matter of, does it add to my righteousness? It's a matter of, I just trust God. I want to do something, what God wants me to do. And I believe that what God wants me to do that. If you're afraid, start small, work your way up. But I'll be honest with you. The further you step out in faith, the simpler, the clearer you see the faithfulness of God. It's that simple. It's that simple. And you know, the tithe is actually levels it out, doesn't it? It's a tenth for all. Don't you wish our federal government would be that way? that they were a state government, that they would just say, we're going to make it level for all. You know? No, we got to they're greedy. They want to graduate up, and if you make more money, they want more of it. And then they make loopholes for the rich to get out of paying any of it, don't they? And then who ends up paying it? We do. But the simple fact is, that's the truth. But God doesn't do that. God sets us a something there of faith that teaches us something. And I can tell you for years, I mean, we've been in situations where we didn't know what we were going to do. And yet God always provided. And many times He provided before we even said a word to a soul. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I could tell you. I mean, God didn't just provide from people that liked us. He provided from people sometimes that hated us. No. Just an amazing thing. But I'm just simply saying, when you talk about tithing, it's not a matter of the law. If you approach it that way, then yeah, I guess it is. But it's not a matter of law, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trusting God. It's a matter of looking at the principles in the Word of God and say that, you know what, that belongs to God. God does, God at least deserves that of me, of everything he's given me. So often we don't do it that way. But I tell you what, if you do, you won't regret it. And you'll never learn to trust God, and you'll never learn how faithful he is if you don't trust him. It's just that simple. So am I telling you, we're putting out a law from the church, and if you don't tithe, you're not right with God? No, I'm telling you, you don't trust him the way you should. Take the time and look at it. I mean, there you can read all, you know, you can do a search on the word tithe, and you'll find out a lot of different things about the word tithe. But in a final analysis, you know what it is? It's just giving back to God. It's giving God back to God as God prospered you. It's saying, hey, I didn't get this on my own. God prospered me. God gave to me. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It's the same thing for all in that economy. You remember, people got upset with former President Obama when he came out and he said something about business owners and their prosperity and everything they did. And he said, you didn't do that. Government did that for you. Well, you know what's wrong with that statement? Is he's trying to take the place of God. That's what was wrong with that statement. Because I will say to everybody, you didn't do that. God prospered you. God allowed you to prosper. God provided for you. God made his sun to rise on the just and the unjust. And God made his rain to fall upon the evil and the good. No. President Obama, I'm not beholden to the government other than what the Bible tells me I should do, to give honor unto whom honor is due. But if you want to talk about who is the agent and the cause of any man's prosperity, we're going to be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about God the Father. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about the God of the Bible. We're not talking about any human government. When men start trusting in government, what always happens? Tyranny. Always. Every time. Absolutely. But when men put their faith and trust in God, that leads to liberty. And not just liberty, political liberty, but freedom. Freedom from fear, freedom from worry, freedom from the pressure and the weight of putting everything on your own shoulders. You realize that there's a God in heaven who answers prayer. There's a God in heaven who cares. There's a God in heaven who provides. There's a God in heaven who you can trust. Not just with your soul, but with your pocketbook and your possessions. Because everything you have, guess who gave it to you? And yes, everything that a Christian has is to be used to the glory of God. Shouldn't be used in any wicked or untoward thing. It all belongs to God. That's right. But tithing is a way not only to honor God and to trust God, but God uses it to provide and further the work of God, doesn't he? That's the whole point. So just something to think about. It does a lot of things. Keep the lights on here for what purpose? To honor God, don't we? That's the way we should do it. So I just want you to think about that issue of tithing. Don't sit there and think, well, if I give a tenth, then I'm right with God. No, if you give a tenth by faith, you're right with God. It's It's by faith. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of grace. So it's just something about tithing. I just want to take some time and teach you about it because so many people have a wrong idea of it. But I tell you what, I've never known anybody that started out with tithing by faith that has ever regretted. Never. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the Sunday school lesson. Father, we thank you for all you've given. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for all you've provided. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see and look in there. And we look to so many people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the patriarchs and the people that live by faith. And Lord, help us to just follow their example. And Lord, just because it's in the law doesn't mean that it's not right. That it's no that it isn't a right or a good thing for a Christian to do. Lord, there's many things in the law that we continue on just because they're right. So Lord, help us to think that way with our money too and the possessions and all that you prosper us with. Let us see and learn and grow. And Lord, let us get to the point where truly we truly believe and make available all that you've provided to us back to you for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.